9:03 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Joining us right now, Baltimore Sun, BaltimoreSun.com, our guy Jacob Calvin Meyer. What's going on, Jacob?
Hey, fellas. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well.
What are you doing the off season? You working still?
Well, this is usually my nap time, so I gotta say you guys should feel pretty honored that I chose to come on at 9 instead of taking a nap.
Honored. He graced us with his presence.
Was he big time with us now? Honored. Honored that I don't hit click up.
He go right back to bed. What are you talking about?
Now, Jacob, this off season, man, is a very, I think, probably one of the more engaged off seasons in recent Oriole history in terms of fans wondering and anticipating what they're going to do. Do you expect a lot of activity by this organization this offseason?
No, you're right. This offseason is interesting because I think the range of outcomes are so wide. I wouldn't be surprised if they go out and they don't do much in free agency, because that's just the way it's been around here. At the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if they go out and spend $100 million because they have a new owner and they have money to spend. And so it's been quite some time since we've gone into an off season where we don't really know what can happen, and the outcomes are so wide. For me, I am expecting them to do some stuff this off season. We've already seen it with some of the coaching changes thus far. And, you know, I don't want to give, you know, I think the fact that they haven't spent a lot so far is the fault of many people. But this is truly Mike Elias's first off season. Because in the past I think most people would admit that he was sort of doing the job with one hand tied behind his back. And so I'm really curious what he chooses to do and how he wants to run this organization now that he basically does have an actual owner and somebody who is willing to spend money on this team.
Do you think it's a lot of trades that we're talking about? Because like free agency for us has always been, what's left? What are we going to get? And now I think that has to change. I'm not fully expecting them to push all their chips in the middle with Corbin Burns or with Santander, even though I'd like to see those guys come back. But it makes me wonder how they're going to get some of these things done, because they do appear to have somewhat of a logjam maybe in the outfield. What are your thoughts, what they actually do in the offseason?
Yeah, it's a good question, because it's not as clear. It's not like you go into the offseason going, oh, they need a third baseman. You know, they don't really have that. I think you go into it saying, okay, they could probably use a starting pitcher, somebody that could slot in near the top of their rotation because they're losing Corbin Burns. And then, of course, they need bullpen help. But from there, it's like, okay, you've got these young guys that can step in at, you know, Coby Mayo and Haston Kerstad. I think it's a little bit more complex in that I think it's both. I wouldn't be surprised if they make a couple of trades and then they sign some people, right? I think you used the term pushing your chips to the middle. I would agree with that in terms of Corbin Burns. With Santander, it's a little bit different. You know, to re-sign him, I don't think it's going to take a ton. I mean, it depends, right? If the New York Mets lose out on Juan Soto, and then they give Anthony Santander 5 years, $125 million. Like, I think most Orioles fans are going to understand that and say, you know, the Orioles weren't going to pay over $100 million for Santander. But if another team, especially a team in the division, signs Santander for 3 for $66 million and the Orioles don't sign him, that's going to be a tough pill to swallow. And so this team can afford to bring back Anthony Santander. And after what happened in the second half with the offense, I think it makes a lot of sense to at least entertain that possibility.
Wait a minute. So you don't think the Orioles will spend $100 million on Anthony Santander?
I don't want to speculate, but I don't think they're going to – let me phrase it this way. I don't think they're going to overspend to bring back Anthony Santander. And so whatever you view overspending for him to be, I don't think they're going to do that. I'm probably a little bit lower on what his market is going to be this offseason.
I think he's $20 to $25 million, and at the age of 30, I would not sign a 3-year contract. I'm going to whoever giving me a four or five year contract. So at that number, that's $100 million.
Right. I think for me, I'd be surprised if he got 5 years, and I'd be surprised if he got over $100 million. But again, with the market, you just never know what it's going to be. In recent years, for hitters, especially hitters like Santander, who really aren't great defensively, and they're not, you know, he's just really a power guy at this point. He's not a high on base guy. You don't see the market for those guys be crazy, but at the same time, you just never know. All it takes is one team.
I hope you're right. I'm betting on you being right. I hope you're right as we're here with Jacob Calvert-Meyer from Baltimore Sun, BaltimoreSun.com.
So watching the postseason here, I mean, we've heard everything about the Orioles. They need to do this, they need to do that. The one thing that I thought would have been nice to have, but we really weren't screaming a ton about it at the trade deadline, was a veteran bat to go along with this. Is that something you see them acquiring in the offseason?
Yeah, probably. I don't know in what
capacity.
What looks like. Could they trade for the veteran bat? Maybe do they trade somebody that's currently on the roster and then go out and sign that guy? Possibly. I think one of the more noteworthy aspects of the end of season press conferences was when Brandon Hyde talked about Ben Zobrist and when he was with the Cubs in 2015, 2016, and they had this 36-year-old Ben Zobrist who Joe Maddon hit fourth. And just a really solid veteran hitter. I don't think it was a coincidence that for whatever reason, when Brandon Hyde was asked about the offense, in his mind popped up, man, I wish I had Ben Zobrist this season. And so I don't think there's a Ben Zobrist on the market, but if there is, or if they view somebody like that, I wouldn't be surprised if they go out and get that person.
Jacob Calvert-Meyer. Jacob, what are you working on right now, man? Just chilling on the home front?
Mostly just chilling, looking at some off-season stuff. I find this playoff race pretty interesting because you just never know how the postseason is going to go, but seven of the eight series thus far have been won by the team that has the higher payroll. Spending money does not guarantee you anything, but it is one of the few things that is correlated with winning. And so if you want to win baseball games, if you want to win championships, you have to spend money on your team.
There's no doubt about it. Thanks a lot, Jacob.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me on. Thank you, Jake.
All right, buddy. That's the man, Jacob Calvert-Meyer, 410-583-1057. That's the number.
He was almost the man that got hung up on.
No, I would have never done that to him.
He's awesome.
Busted chops with him. It's interesting what he thinks the value of the market of Anthony Santander is. Do you find that interesting?
I think it's a little bit better than what maybe Jake thinks it is. Just because you have to look at the market. It's Juan Soto, and then after that, who's the next guy?
The price is going to be up because of where it starts.
That's why.
It's like an NBA mentality for this offseason.
Yeah, and then by the way, let's say there were six outfielders out there, and five of them were better than Santander, and he hits the open market. If he's the last one left, he might even get more money then because of the team that doesn't want to miss out on him. Right. So you just have to wait and see how the first dominoes fall in free agency, and then it lets you know what's going to happen the rest of the way.
No doubt about it. Do the Ravens, are they like maybe one or two position players away from winning it all? We'll discuss that at 9:30. But on the other side, Jeremy Kahn, it's the Daily Line.
Yeah, so missed with the Jets last night, hit on some of the early hockey games, hit on some prop plays. Wasn't a great night for me. Talk about what went right, what went wrong, and look at today's slate where we have Major League Baseball, college football back on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday nights. Hiccups again, damn it. We've got NHL tonight, so a lot to go over. Some NHL games that I really, really like. I'll tell you what that is coming up next.
Rodgers in the shotgun, Hall to his right on 3rd and 16. Back to pass. Rodgers looking to load up. Fires deep. Rainbow down the field looking for Mike Williams, and it's intercepted. Taron Johnson, welcome back. A humongous interception by the nickel corner.
There you go. That's courtesy of Westwood One. If you heard Aaron Rodgers after the game, that was Mike Williams' fault, his interception. I think sometimes that guy's just trying to tell the story, and he just somehow points
and
his finger at everyone else.
He trips into just being an a-hole.
Yeah, he was like, Lazard was running the fly or whatever. He was running this route, and he was supposed to run this on the outside, and then he cut this way. But I'm throwing it blind, so it couldn't be my fault.
And why is he throwing it towards the more of the middle of the field? I didn't understand that.
Psst, Rodgers, on that play, Breece Hall is butt naked wide open in the flat with about 30 yards in front of him. You could have just dropped that ball off to him and seen what he could do.
I did like his sarcastic ball comment after the game. That was good.
Yeah,
and at least he understood some of those penalty calls last night were...
They were atrocious.
Like towards the end of the game, I felt like Ed, where he's just like, I can't watch this anymore. I almost turned it off just because every single play, he had 22 penalties, or like 220 yards.
I was reading something that it's been since 2021 since Aaron Rodgers has thrown over 300 yards.
He was close last night. I thought they kept saying in the broadcast that he was going to get to that mark.
Yeah. I mean, the other part of this, too, is as I look at last night's game, and you had the holding call with the one touchdown run that could have changed things on Tyron Smith. But nobody's out of the AFC East yet because it's been so lackluster. But right now, the Buffalo Bills are in control. If Miami gets Tua back and he can stay upright, who knows what happens there. But that was a swing and a miss for me. My prop plays last night, I didn't get to give them out on the show, but I gave them out later. Dalton Kincaid over 3.5 receptions was one that hit. I had Josh Allen interception. He didn't throw one. Aaron Rodgers did. Breece Hall's over rushing yards. That hit. And my favorite one was Tyler Conklin under 3.5 receptions. I think he had 2 receptions. I had the under in the Panthers-Bruins game. That turned into a... I mean, they didn't score anything really in the third period. Everything was scored in the first and the second. Had the over in the Kings-Senators, my top play. And I think it was 7-7 at one point with a total of 6. And Yankees-Guardians, I had the over there at 7.5. It finished at 7. Not a lot to write home about there. I also had the under in the Dodgers-Mets game. That missed. So what do we look at today? We got a lot of light days on weekdays, and it does make it rather difficult at times to sit here and say, okay, the thing you don't want to do is you don't want to force a play just because it's a light day and say, oh, because a lot of times you'll hear me say something like, if this on a Thursday night football game, if this game was on Sunday, I would not be betting it. But because it's a standalone game, I'm betting it. You know, like those things do happen. So with today, let's start with college football. I got 2 plays for you that I like. And guess what? I'm on all totals today. Louisiana Tech, New Mexico State University, under 50.5 will be a top play for me today. I like Troy and USA. U.S. at South Alabama. I like them over 55. The University of South Alabama. I like them to go over 55. Again, we have Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday night football. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. For God knows how long now. So soak it up. Check out some of these other teams if you want to watch it. But we do have some smaller schools playing, and I like the fact that they get to showcase themselves somehow, some way on these weeknights. Now, getting to the NHL, I like Vegas and Washington to go under 5.5. I like Minnesota and St. Louis to go over 6. My favorite NHL play, and it will be a top play for me, will be New Jersey and Carolina over the 6 goals. Moving on to baseball, and here's what I'm looking at with baseball. It is Tanner Bibee versus Gerrit Cole. A lot of money coming in on the Yankees. I understand why. A lot of money coming in on the over. I understand why. I'm taking the under here. I don't know that I can take my money and put it on the Guardians to go in and all of a sudden start swinging their bats. The one thing I'll say is you didn't get to see it in this last game because they obviously had a few hiccups early. They have the best bullpen in baseball. So don't be surprised in any one of these games, they throw 6 different guys out there, 5 different guys out there, and they don't give up squat. They're that good. Weather today is no help in New York either way. Wind's blowing out, but I don't know unless you hit the jet stream just right down that right field line that it's going to help as much.
They still subscribe by Terry Francona's method of baseball. That's what he used to do.
Yeah.
In the playoffs, get a lead and milk that bullpen to death.
Yeah, and that, I was telling you, that's one of the concerns I have with Cleveland if they end up moving on, is they've used a ton of that bullpen. And you got to understand, too, they've got starters that aren't giving them more than 2 innings.
Yeah.
So the Tigers were kind of in the same boat, except they could go to Reese Olson to throw 5 if they wanted to, Keeter Montero, but they just kept going with the bullpen. Hey, if you're throwing well, go out there and throw another inning. You know, and that's what they rolled with. But I think the under's the right play tonight. Have a weird, sneaky suspicion that Jazz Chisholm's going to have a good game. Don't know if I'm going to have any prop plays. I was telling people this, too. Like, in the postseason, it's really difficult to fall in love with prop plays for hitters. Because unless you see a matchup that's a perfect matchup for the guy, everything's done. Like, if you can hit and they're worried about you, you might get walked.
Yep.
So you don't get your hit. The other night, I had a huge parlay with Mookie Betts to get a base hit. He was minus 230 to get a base hit. 0-4 or 0-3 with a walk. You know, so he hit the ball every time. He didn't strike out. Just he hit it right at somebody. Those things happen. In the postseason, it's really difficult to pick out home run plays just because we're all going to have 7 run totals, 7.5. You're not going to see a lot of high totals the rest of the way unless we just get a bad pitching matchup. But Aaron Judge grades out as the number 1 hitter. Juan Soto 2, Jose Ramirez, Jazz Chisholm 4. That's why seeing Chisholm up that high, and again, it's one game, so you can't sit here and get caught up in this stuff. I like him tonight, but I'm not going to bet him. I'm not going to sit here and tell you to take him over hits, over total bases, or any of that nonsense. But I do think this game goes under the total. To recap real quick, my favorite plays tonight, there's 3 of them. Baseball, Cleveland, New York under. Hockey, New Jersey, Carolina over. College football, Louisiana Tech, New Mexico State under the 50.5. So there you go.
There you go. Thank you very much.
Oh, one other thing I wanted to bring up too. This past week in the NFL, one of the worst weeks that Vegas has had in a long, long time. They needed the Jets last night. Bills won. Of the 8 most popular bets, the only one that didn't hit was everybody betting on Washington. And it's so weird because me being a contrarian, I'm always on the side of, not always, 95% of the time I'm on the side of the house. I'm going to bet with the house. I'm going to find the right spots. And this weekend, no matter what I picked, everything would have went wrong fading the public. And this happens once or twice a year. Not to this extent. This was ridiculous with the Ravens being the only, like every road favorite. Think about it. Tampa Bay beat New Orleans ass. Atlanta beat Carolina. Everybody bet Houston to beat New England. They beat them up. Cincinnati over the Giants. Like, just keep looking at it. And if you believe they're a bad team and they were at home, they lost. Indy beat Tennessee. On and on and on. It just keeps going. So just be aware of that. I think Vegas had one of the best weeks they've ever had 2 weeks ago. And then they just had one of the worst weeks they've had in a long, long time. There you go.
Well, you know what? Last I checked, they're still building buildings, so.
Yeah. They got
all right.
Roller coasters on top of skyscrapers. They'll be fine.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Jeremy, I know how you feel now. What did they steal of yours? Turkey salad? No,
chicken salad sandwich? Yeah. Somebody stole your food?
I had a full stick of Irish butter in the fridge. Full stick. I don't eat the Irish butter because of the Omega. John Rollo told me something about the omega-3s and all that stuff is better for you. It's not that much more expensive. So I started eating that maybe about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I had a full stick. Not even the wrapper is in there. It's gone. Hey, come on, man.
Rob loves his Irish butter. They took your magic stick?
They took my Irish butter.
My magic stick. No, they see, and this is what I'm talking about. Because I don't care. I would have lost my job had I found out who stole my chicken salad sandwich. If you thought Ross was mad on Friends when they ate his moist maker, you should have seen me. Because that was my lunch for the next 2 days.
Hear me out, Jeremy. This is what makes it worse. Let's say there was 2 chicken salad sandwiches in there. And yours was the better one. And they chose to eat yours and leave the other one in there.
Still pisses me off.
That's what they did.
The butter's in there.
There's other butter in there. Thanks to margarine, and it's molded.
Yeah, but we all heard from John that there's more omega-3s in the Irish butter, so we wanted to try it. I mean, we as a collective whole as a station.
I'm going to dog cuss you in the break.
Hey, I'm on your side. I'm just busting your chops now because I feel like anybody that goes in and steals somebody else's food
is ridiculous,
should
man.
Have to face them in a 6-sided ring of fire and only one comes out.
And being that you ate my Irish butter, it won't be you.
Ugh.
Won't be you.
Cowards. Like, I think some people look at things as communal, like, oh, there's some creamer in here. They're not going to know if I borrow it every day for the next 2 weeks. Like, come on, man.
See, that's what gets me. Like there's coffee creamer in there. There's milk in there, cow milk, and there's oat milk. Okay? If you want oat milk, get your own. Use the creamer or use the milk, the cow milk. If you want specific milk, oat milk, almond milk, things of that nature, do what I did. Do what Kramer does. Bring in your own.
Do they have any Cambodian breast milk in there?
No. I got a
man.
Cambodian at home. I get it directly from.
What the hell, man? Oh, God. It would be nice to see some. Like, you'd figure sitting where I'm sitting, I get to see who goes up to the refrigerator. You guys can't see my viewpoint. Like, I can see anybody walking up to it, but I can't tell what they're taking in and out of the fridge. I just stopped bringing my food in. Now, if I was going to bring food in, I'd have it in my own little cooler. I wouldn't even mess with that.
But see, you can't leave the butter in. You know, you got to put the.
I get you.
I'm sitting here eating the sweet potato with no butter.
Mm. Get some salt for that. Some sodium.
Nobody puts salt on a sweet potato.
Yeah,
there's just, the butter that's in there though, in the top shelf is sweet cream butter though, and it's not nearly as good as regular butter.
And it's molded.
You it's not. Mold? It's not moldy.
What is that?
They're little pieces of
mold.
No, they're from an everything bagel.
Oh, somebody using the
somebody
knife
use it and put the bagel seeds on it.
It must have been out when they were using it, but it's not. It's not mold.
That pisses me off too.
Butter, it's very hard for butter to go moldy. It's been there for years.
You can't even clean the everything seasons off the butter that you use. You guys are trifling.
It's too many bagels, man.
You all are trifling around here.
I tried to fight my
ass.
Family that was using the same peanut butter knife that they put in the jelly. And I'm like, wash the damn thing off. Like, I don't need peanut butter in my jelly. What if I just want a jelly?
You got chocolate in my peanut butter. You got peanut butter in my chocolate.
I'm just, like, it amazes me. It's like, oh, I'm going to put this on my toast. Oh, there's crumbs falling all over it. Oh, somebody Zilla will probably Royce, like that on whatever they're eating next.
Hardcore 945, but on the other side, do you think the Ravens are a safety or cornerback trade away from being an elite team? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. 9:32 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. What do the Ravens have to do to be the elite team, Jeremy Kahn? An elite team.
I mean, they are an elite team, but if you want to be the number one team, you got to get past that other team that you did in week one. And that's always something that's going to be brought up until you get past 15, you beat Kansas City, or if you magically, even if you get to the Super Bowl and win, and let's say you didn't face Kansas City. Somebody's going to go, well, you didn't beat them. Somebody else did. It's always something else. The goalpost always gets moved. But he's got to get there. He's got to get to a Super Bowl. I hate saying he, but you know all the pressure goes on the quarterback.
Is there a move that the Ravens could make to get him there, in your opinion?
I haven't heard anything secondary related. I don't know if people saw this. Hassan Reddick, he switched to Drew Rosenhaus. The Jets have given him 12 hours to seek a trade to another team. Makes it interesting because the Lions just lost Aiden Hutchinson, but does a team want to trade and have to pay for this guy? Can you afford it? Hassan Reddick is the biggest name out there that could absolutely change your franchise, I think, if you traded for him. But buyer beware. He spent a lot of time off. He obviously wants a lot of money. He feels a certain way about himself. So I think that's the one thing that could change it.
Now, are the Ravens, with the way the secondary is playing, are they a corner or a safety away from being an elite team?
Yeah.
They are?
I do. Like, I still have questions, like, how bad is this secondary? And I'm not saying that it's not, like, a bad secondary, but if it's middle of the pack, I think you win with this team. I think that defense can get you stops. And the fact that you shut down the run, it forces more teams to throw. So I think your numbers are going to be a little elevated. Come postseason time, we'll just have to see. But maybe it is shoring up something in the back end. Maybe that's why Dean Pease comes in. He's looking down like, oh, this guy's out of position. He's not doing this. Right. And then you fix some things. You tweak something. But, yeah, it's unbelievably concerning to see what we've seen so far.
See, NFL Network, we're watching it right now. They just did a segment. Are the Ravens better than the Chiefs right now? And for the most part, they believe the Ravens right now are a better team than the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
I disagree with that.
I don't.
Because they're the champs. But I understand it's not a ridiculous argument. So if they – now, let's say you say they already are. Okay, so who's better than the Ravens?
Right now?
Yeah.
Nobody. I don't think another team's better than them. And by the way
– but yet we want to make moves, personnel moves.
Yeah. Last year's team was better, though.
True. True.
Yeah.
Last year's team – Until they played Kansas City, I thought was better than Kansas City.
I think last year, I've said it before, I think last year's team is one of the five best teams I've seen in the past 25 years, and you didn't win.
I thought we could talk about that a little bit later. You want to bring in a consultant? You're bringing a consultant for the wrong coach. Anyway, I just believe this team, the secondary, I don't think you need to make wholesale changes right now. I don't think so, man. I think the solution is here. I don't want to become that team that starts stockpiling talent. You heard Ken McCusick earlier say, this team has playmakers all over the place. And he said that when we were talking about the defense. They have the playmakers. What is it, 3 out of 29 pass defenses they created turnovers? Mm-hmm. Just 3 out of 29? Get your hands out of your ass. It's there. The ability is there. They're just not getting it done for some reason. Jeremy, I am convinced that it's scheme. I'm convinced There's a reason. You can tell me Roquan Smith is a little heavier than he was last year, yada, yada, yada. Kyle Hamilton has started stepping up the last couple of weeks. Yeah, Kyle Hamilton is stepping up because of Kyle Hamilton. I think a lot of what's going on with this team is scheme. I do. I think that's the reason you brought in Dean Pease. The problem is I don't know if Dean Pease is the one who could answer that question. I don't know if he's the one who's going to bring in it. I think these guys, I don't believe these guys are put in the best positions to be successful. The reason why is if I take over, I don't want to do everything you did when you were here because I want some of it to be mine. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what the best thing for me to do? Might be for me to do everything that you just did because the crap worked. And to me, I just wonder whether there's a little struggle there and not wanting to be a Mike McDonald clone when maybe right now with the personnel you have, you should be a Mike McDonald clone and then hang around long enough to gradually change it to what you want it to be.
I mean, we'll never know the answer if this is more so on Zach Orr than it is the defense, whatever, not handling it right, not doing certain things. I don't think that's the I don't believe that's what it is. I just think there's a bunch of things that have gone on that cause you to have this type of secondary. I mean, I'm looking at Brandon Stevens' numbers from Sunday, and they were great, even though that's one of the guys we complained about, you know, not getting his head around. He actually did a really good job. A couple of catches of Terry McLaurin, but even on those two catches, he was right there. So, I don't know. I think the secondary, like the way people were talking about the offensive line at the beginning of the year, it's like, oh, we got to wait and see. I think they'll get better the more they play together. I think we see that with the secondary too. But I also believe, Marcus Williams, that injury, I don't think he's playing up to his full potential. And, you know, somebody, I think it was Mike Preston, said it looks like he's, when he comes up to make tackles, he's scared because of that injury. He's been hurt twice. And I get it. I think people don't, when you come back from an injury, people always think about the physical. Sometimes it's the mental that just gets you. Like, you got to be able to get back in there and mix it up and not worried about getting hurt again.
Yeah. Yeah. 410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. And that's where we are right now. I mean, I just think this team is a legit team, a complete team. I don't want a whole lot of changes. Let's go to Baltimore and get Chris. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So I like the question. Here's my answer to the question. Hopefully I get it. I make it make sense to you. If it's a trade, go give me Max Crosby. I think he fits the scheme, everything about that, the Ravens, be a Raven. Outside of acquisition pickup, I will go look at Xavier Howard and a coach. I wouldn't have got Dean Pease. I wouldn't want to go get Mike Sala. Or Robert Sala. I'm sorry, Robert Sala, who they let go from the Jets.
Man, you can't put Xavier Howard closer. Like, get him further away from you. That guy's a – no. That's the same cat that sent pictures of him sleeping with the kid's mom to the kid. He's the same cat that's – he got so many kids by different – like, no. I think that dog's not hunting anymore, man. I don't want that guy near my team.
When he was in San Fran, I mean, he was – for the defense, he was killing.
Look, he's always been a good player. I mean, he was –
You just say you don't like the character.
Oh, I don't want him around my team. No, screw that. I don't want him. You can have him.
So you try to have the Boy Scouts?
It's not about the Boy Scouts. It's like, I mean, some of that stuff that this cat's doing is uncalled for.
Max Crosby has 2 years left on his deal. His cap hit the next 2 years are $28 and $24 million. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, but like the problem with football and trades is people have these pipe dreams of what they want. If the contracts aren't worked out to where you're not taking a gigantic cap hit, or if the team can eat some of that money, you have to find the right trade partner, and you have to have the right team that's willing to give up something of value that, you know, like, for example, you'd have to find a team that's slowly falling out. One of the teams that we brought up was Cleveland, right? We can see Cleveland's not going anywhere. We
don't trade with us, though.
No. But I'm just saying, like, if you need a wide receiver, they redid Amari Cooper's contract to where it's going to be like $500,000 hit if you trade for him.
I'm with Joe also. Why would you get rid of Max Crosby? That's your cornerstone.
He already said earlier this season there was something about how some talking head said that he didn't go to a game because he was injured. So he didn't travel with the team for the game, and they called him out and said that he's not dedicated to the team. And he was like, I have this logo tattooed on my effing body. Like, don't tell me that I don't care about the team. I don't think he's ever going to leave Vegas.
Yeah, I don't see Max. Max Crosby is a Raider. No doubt about that. Joe has the encore. You don't want to miss it. Find out what we learned today on The Fan. What's up, Jay?
Not much. Yeah, I mean, talking to Ed, getting messages from neighbors, and you get to see the outside and see how bad it is until someone walks in the front door, and you're like,
oh,
damn, there's more going on here. So, and from his text back to us, it's like, you can't even get in down there unless you live down there now. It's, I mean, there's just so many things that are busted up, and you don't realize it because it's out of sight, out of mind sometimes.
Yeah.
But, damn, that's rough down there, man. People without power, you don't know how long you're going to be without power.
I need them to straighten that out before I move down there in a couple of years.
I don't know if they're getting rid of that hurricane.
Get that together.
Damn Democrats keep creating hurricanes. How do they do? Why don't they attack another country with these hurricanes? Damn liberals.
Don't start it. I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it this morning. I just told you. I'm tired of everybody telling me to vote. I am. Just leave me alone about it. I am. I never not did it.
I don't
why
get
you, like, why are you telling me I'm going to? Leave me alone about it.
It is weird. Everybody's saying that, like, Joe Biden's trying to figure out who crapped his pants, but yet he's got a weather machine. I mean, come on, man. Unbelievable, man.
I'm so sick of it, man. And that's the encore for the day. We're giving away two tickets right now to Smoketoberfest, a cigar and whiskey tasting October the 17th. That's this Thursday at the Humidor Cigar Shop. And it benefits Pathfinders for Autism. Two tickets right now to that that occasion. That it's going to be great. I'm going to be there. And that's this Thursday. Now, here's the deal. These tickets, six tickets, two today, two tomorrow, two Thursday, are being donated by either Jeremy or I. We don't know.
If the Dodgers get to the World Series, they're being donated by Rob.
If they don't get to the World Series,
they're being donated by me.
I think this is a great bet.
Yeah.
This is a great bet. It benefits Pathfinders for Autism, and our listeners get to have some fun on it.
410-583-1057 if you want to get those tickets.
Caller number five. Caller number five. We're going with that. Joe is beside himself because we've dropped the ball and given it away early. So, with that being said, now it's time for you to find out what we learned today. Let's call it number five, what we learned for the Smoketoberfest, a cigar tasting. That's going to be Thursday. We're giving away two tickets right now. Not now, but right now. All right, Jeremy Kahn. Yesterday was National Bald and Be Free Day. We don't do national days on Monday morning quarterback, but I will be remiss not to say that since I am bald and free. I thought bald and be free meant, you know, don't wear any underwear. So yesterday morning, I shaved my head and didn't wear no drawers.
Oh, nice. So that's, if it's freeing.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
Free balling.
So that was not, that's not what it meant. That's not what it meant. It's not what it meant at all. Oh. National Day to Day to Day. Today is National Grouch Day. You know any grouches?
Just you.
You think I'm a grouch?
Yeah.
Okay. I am. I am
not all the time. No, because there are certain people that I try to call out people that are angry at everything
for no reason. Yeah,
just like you're a miserable human being. I don't know how many people I see on Facebook that write something and it's negative, and then I click on their page and start reading just their last five posts.
It's just,
and I'm
miserable.
Like, man, you hate everything. Everybody's against you. It's all you want to do is complain.
And it's everybody else's fault.
What's wrong with people? Now you're going to make me into a
grouch. So that's not me, is what you're saying.
That's not you. But you come in grouchy sometimes.
I do, but I admit it, though. We had that meeting of us coming in early. I said, you know what? Them guys not coming in early. It's on me. I don't talk to anybody. So why come in early when I'm not talking? Did you like I Love Lucy as a kid?
Yeah.
Today is National I Love Lucy Day.
I didn't know they had their own day.
Well, now you know. If you don't know, now you know.
Lucy, I'm home.
Yeah. And, you know, there are a couple of birthdays in sports today, but I'm only acknowledge one. I'm acknowledging one birthday today.
Okay.
Because that man deserved to have his birthday acknowledged on his own. Today is the 79th birthday for one Jim Palmer.
Oh. Happy birthday, Cakes.
Now you know why I'm only doing one.
Because if you're bringing up him, he's going to take up the whole segment.
He ain't got enough time to talk about everybody else's. You see what I'm saying? We don't have enough time to talk about everybody else's birthday. I know he's listening.
I hope so.
Up there on the left coast.
My favorite thing about Jim Palmer is when you bring him on, he doesn't care. Brings that big old swinging thing. Like, this is how I feel. This is how I feel. It doesn't matter. He's a Hall of Famer. Ain't nothing you're going to do to him.
One day, this is a true story. I text him. I said, can you come on tomorrow? He said, what time? I said, oh, no, I said, can you come on tomorrow at 8:30? He said, I'm in California. I said, so 9? what he said afterwards can't be repeated on radio, but in his defense, he did come on the show that next day.
He's awesome, man.
He said, you come on at 8:30 tomorrow. I'm in California. So you're saying 9.
I'll give you another true story. We had him on last time. Rob asked the question. Ed asked the question. We ran out of time.
You never
asked. I didn't get to ask the question. We asked 2 questions and it filled the segment. Jim is the best.
I love him. I absolutely love him. What you got going on over there, Jerry?
Yeah, I was just reading this. The church wants 10% of my income. But atheism is a nonprofit organization. when I get naked in the bathroom, the shower usually gets turned on. You like that one? No? Oh, Jesus. Tough crowd here. I could never be friends with a seamstress. They're too closed-minded. No? You didn't get
that's my bad.
Why do tigers always tell the truth? Because if they didn't, they'd be lying. What do you call a dog who meditates? A werewolf. A werewolf.
Joe? I kind of like that one. Joe.
Did you hear about the guy who invented the knock knock joke?
No.
He won the Nobel Prize.
So you rim shot that, but not a werewolf? Okay,
here, good. Last one for you. You'll like this one. What do you call it when you try to convince someone you didn't fart? Gaslighting. That's so true. Oh, man.
Oh, we got a winner, Joe?
Yep.
We got a winner. So 2 people at least will join me on Thursday, and we'll give away 2 tomorrow and 2 Thursday as well. Vinny and Henny up next. Have yourselves a safe and wonderful Taco Tuesday.